From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, September 21st, 2018. And on this day, U.S. Senator Susan Collins facing intense pressure at home in Maine in connection with Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Pot for lobsters headed for the pot. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
As the controversy around Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh roils Washington, Republican Senator Susan Collins faces intense pressure at home in Maine. Collins is among a handful of Senate Republicans who could decide whether Kavanaugh gets a lifetime seat on the court. And that's fueling a wave of protest sit-ins and ad blitzes by liberal activists who hope to convince her to vote no. As Steve Missler reports, the pressure campaign reached a crescendo this week after a woman accused Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her in the 80s.
Protests at Collins' constituent offices have been frequent ever since Donald Trump became president last year. But the women chanting outside of the office on Thursday revealed how some have changed their efforts to persuade a politician whose long political career is built on her reputation as a moderate. Before, there was hope that Collins, who identifies as pro-choice, would oppose Kavanaugh, who these activists view as a threat to abortion rights. Now, there's a growing belief among people like Gail Foss that Collins will join other Republican senators and vote to confirm him.
And I am so furious at our senator. I miss rational Republicans.
The anger directed at Collins has been building for weeks, and so has a crowdfunding effort that's using small-dollar donations to illustrate the electoral consequences she'll face if she seeks another six-year term in 2020.
If you vote to confirm Kavanaugh, we're not going to stop fighting until you're defeated.
Mainers need you to stand up and be a hero.
Be a hero.
Be a hero.
Be a hero and vote no. And if you don't, we will replace you.
The so-called Be a Hero campaign vows to fund Collins' re-election opponent if she votes yes on Kavanaugh. If she votes no, the campaign will refund the money. It's raised nearly $1.5 million so far, with over 50,000 contributors.
That, to me, has all the earmark of an attempt to bribe me. I just think that is unethical and appalling.
Collins recently told Maine Public Radio that the fundraising campaign is disgusting and possibly illegal. She also says several people calling her office have used vulgar and threatening language, a complaint that's prompted some to accuse her of using a few nasty calls to tarnish everyone who wants her to vote against Kavanaugh.
The level of debate on this nominee has truly sunk to new lows.
And all of that was before the pending confirmation vote was rocked with allegations by Christine Blasey Ford that Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her when the two were in high school during the early 80s. The accusations reinvigorated the pressure campaign, sparking ads like this one from Demand Justice, a dark money group that advocates for liberal judges on the Supreme Court.
When 15-year-old Christine tried to scream, her attacker covered her mouth so no one could hear her. Will Susan Collins listen to her now?
Collins says Professor Ford and Kavanaugh should both testify under oath at a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing next week. She remains undecided and says constituents' views are welcome, even if the ad campaign and fundraising effort are not.
But I think the people of Maine know me well enough that that's not how I would ever make a decision.
Some view Collins' critical comments about the timing of the Kavanaugh allegations as a sign that she's inclined to put him on the country's highest court. But until Collins announces her decision, the effort to get her to vote no is certain to continue. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Charlotte's legendary lobster pound in Southwest Harbor has lived up to its name this past week after a story first reported in the Mount Desert Islander went viral. That's because owner Charlotte Gill has come up with a process to get lobsters high before they die. As Susan Sharon reports, Gill is convinced that a small dose of cannabis can help calm crustaceans before they're cooked in a traditional lobster pot.
Over the last few days, Gill says her phone at the lobster pound has been ringing off the hook, and she's been inundated with emails. Reporters and others want to know about her unusual technique for what could be called, excuse the pun, a half-baked lobster, minus the corn and potatoes.
There was a lot of hate mail at first, and I think it was from people that didn't understand the process or thought that we weren't animal lovers or thought that, you know, our objective was just to get lobsters stoned in some crazy experiment.
But as someone who does love animals and who's been running a lobster pound for the past 7 years, Gill takes the whole business very seriously. So when she serves up a succulent lobster dinner, she doesn't want anything to suffer. And that's where her prototype comes in. She's designed what could be considered the equivalent of a bong hit for lobsters in a small plastic box, without any residual effects for consumers.
Basically what that is it's a device that allows smoke to go through a hosing system or tubing system, and then it saturates the water, a low level of water in a container, and then it fills the airspace above it.
Gill says she's observed enough lobsters to be able to tell that the little hit of marijuana makes a positive difference before they meet their maker. She thinks they're more relaxed, almost sedated, and that's something she considers more humane than the approach taken earlier this year in Switzerland, where it's now illegal to boil a live lobster.
And what they've offered is, as other methods, are you can stab it in the head or you can electrocute it. And I'm all for making the passage of the lobster better, but I'm thinking these are not good methods.
I don't think the science is there right now to say whether or not lobsters are anesthetized by marijuana, but it's an intriguing idea and, you know, maybe worthy of exploration.
Dr. Richard Wally is a researcher at the School of Marine Science at the University of Maine and the director of the Lobster Institute. He's also been fielding lots of questions about Charlotte's legendary lobster. Wally says Switzerland's effort to address lobster end-of-life treatment has given the issue a higher profile. Of course, animal rights groups say there's an even simpler way to avoid this dilemma. Don't eat animals at all. Gill says she's not ready to become a vegetarian just yet, but she is focused on what she calls high-end lobsters and hoping her approach will elevate the discussion about how all animals raised for human consumption are treated. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Friday, September 21st, 2018. Thanks to Patty White, Keith Shortall, Willis Ryder-Arnold, Mark Simpson, and our digital team. I'm Ed Morin.